Good morning.
Good morning.
If you would join me, we're going to be looking at a passage in Matthew. Matthew 15. The passage we'll be focusing on will be 29 through 31, but I would like to back up and begin our reading this morning at verse 21. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Jesus departed from there, skirted the Sea of Galilee, and went up on the mountain and sat down there. Then great multitudes came to him, having with them the lame, blind, mute, maimed, and many others, and they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, and the maimed made whole, and the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. Let's pray. Lord God, we pray this morning that you would use your word, Lord, that you would speak to us, Lord, through these passages that you have had recorded and have preserved over time. May they, Lord, encourage and edify us. May they, Lord, as well bring glory to you. We pray, Lord, for this time, Lord, and for the preaching of your word. We pray, Lord, for the work of the Holy Spirit in each one of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So many, if not all of us, celebrated Christmas yesterday, and holiday seasons are full of times of expectations. I remember as a kid, we would make up wish lists. We would write them up, and we would post those on the refrigerator, and they would be, in a sense, our expectations. Sears would send out their big Christmas catalog. They don't do that anymore, but we would... my sisters and I would destroy that, marking pages, whatever. And we had, in a sense, expectations. And the holidays are that way. And they change as we grow older. They're not as the same as we are as kids. But there's a sense in which we will be this morning looking at this passage and others, and we'll be looking at expectations. So I want to go back to our passage, and I'll go back to verse 29 there. And it says that Jesus departed there from there, skirted the Sea of Galilee, and went up on the mountain and sat down there. And so if we're looking at the previous passage, which is kind of why I did choose to read that previously, was that he was in the Tyre of Sidon. So these were Gentile cities where he was at previously, and down around this area, the Sea of Galilee as well, that was largely a place that was mixed with Jews and Gentiles. The parallel passage in Mark even uses, has reference to the area of Decapolis, which was a Gentile city. And so Jesus is in this northern region of Israel, above the Sea of Galilee, and is ministering there. And one of the things that it says here in this passage is that when this area, he went up on the mountain and sat down there. There's two significant mountains in this area. One is the mountain of Hermon, and one is the mountain of Lebanon. Both these are tall mountains. One is around 9,000 feet, and the other one's around 11,000 feet. So I don't know if this is the mountains that Jesus went to, or if it was just a surrounding area. But I'm not actually sure that the actual mountain where he went to is significant, even though I do feel that this simple passage does have some meaning there. But I think what he did is when Matthew records that he went up to the mountain and he sat down, it is in a way for Matthew to say that he came and he presented himself to the people, to the multitudes. It was there that he went and was there for the people. And actually, mountains are very significant in the scriptures. Usually, a lot of them are references to places of worship. You think about Abraham when God called him to sacrifice Isaac. To him, he told him to go to Moriah and go to the mountain that he would direct him to. We think of Moses as well. When God appeared to him in the burning bush, that was on a mountain in Horeb called the Mountain of God. God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses on Mount Sinai. And we even, when we get later in the Old Testament, when we get into the books of Samuel and the books of Kings and Chronicles, we see that even the false worship that was still prevalent in the land of Israel was a lot of times on what they would call high places or on hills or mountains. And so we see that this is very prevalent not only in Israel but also in the Canaanite worship, that places of mountains or hills were places of worship. And we even think to the book of John where Jesus meets with the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well, and they have this conversation of, well, which mountain are we supposed to worship on? You know, the mountain here or the mountain that you have in Jerusalem where the temple is? And so I think it's interesting that Matthew brings this up, that Jesus goes to a mountain, that Jesus sits down, and there the multitudes come to him. Looking at verse 30 then, it says, then multitudes came to him, having them, the lame, blind, mute, maimed, and many others, and they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. So Jesus now goes and he takes time to basically heal them of their illnesses, of their diseases, and many other things that Matthew doesn't even record, but just kind of clumps them in with many others. There's a fair amount of passages in Matthew where Jesus does something similar to this, and I'll go through and read these for us briefly here. One is in chapter 4. It says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Another one is in chapter 8. It says, when evening had come, they brought him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out spirits with the word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Again, in chapter 9, Matthew records, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among all the people. Chapter 12, he says, but when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Then as well as in chapter 14, he says, when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. And then again in chapter 14, when he crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent into all the surrounding region and brought him all who were sick and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched it were made perfectly well. And again in chapter 19, it says, now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these sayings that he departed from Galilee and came to the region of Judea beyond the Jordan, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. So Jesus' ministry was significantly marked by him healing people. And one of the reasons, or one of the things that we can look back as well, is we can look at his interaction with disciples of John the Baptist. And if we were to go back to chapter 11 of Matthew, we find that Jesus, though, was there when they came to him. And it says, now when it came to pass, when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples, that he departed from there to teach and preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. And so we notice that Matthew significantly goes through and marks these times where Jesus healed people. And I think there's a connection back from the passage that we read in chapter 15 back to this one in chapter 11. And it is Matthew noting and showing that this is what Jesus' ministry was. And the interesting thing is it's not only healings, but in almost all those cases, you see that it is coupled with the preaching of the gospel. And so these healings Jesus would do, and it would give him those times where he would as well preach the kingdom of heaven, or he would give parables, or he would take the time to preach the good news to them. And the interesting thing is that a lot of these passages show us the ministry of Christ, shows us a heart for the people, and it shows us that the healings would be as a sign or as a proof that he is the Son of God, that he is the Savior that has come into the world. And he uses those times to, as well, minister to the people, not only in their illnesses and with the healings, but also to preach that word to them, that hope, that good news, that he was the Son of God. And it reminded me back to our times where in our prayers, we've been praying for both Scott and Suzanne's fathers. And both of them have been dealing with illnesses. But each time we pray for them, Scott and Suzanne also ask that we would be praying for their salvation. Just not that they would be healed. To be healed would be great. But it's not compared to the healing of the soul that both Suzanne and Scott know that they need of their father. And so when we pray for them and we're lifting them up in our prayers to be healed, we as well are praying that they would know who the Son of God is, who the Savior is. Thinking back to that passage with John and Jesus giving instruction to John's disciples, when he tells them that this is what his ministry looks like, and John's asking if this is the one or if this is someone else who we should be expecting, when Jesus says that he is, that they should tell them what they hear and see, that the blind see and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them, he's actually quoting from three different passages in Isaiah. So these are signs that John would understand, that John would recognize that Jesus is the fulfillment of those Old Testament prophecies. And we don't know what John was expecting. John the Baptist might have been, like the rest of the Jewish nation, expecting a political overthrow, someone who would free them from the tyranny of the Roman Empire, or maybe some of their more regional or local governments. Or it might have been that John was expecting something more along the line of a religious overthrow or a religious change. And this may very well be, if we remember back to when he was baptizing in the wilderness and the Pharisees and scribes came out to him, he called them brood of vipers. He called them the tree where the axe is laid at the roots. And also to reference to them as like the chaff, which will be burned with the unquenchable fire. And so it may be that John was thinking more along the lines of what would happen when this Messiah would come and what that they would have to expect. And of course, John was confused because Jesus was healing. And I think Jesus referencing back to these prophecies in Isaiah is giving John the Baptist reference to believe that he is the one who would come. This is a sign, this is proof that he is the Messiah. like I said, we don't know exactly what John was expecting, but just some summaries or summarizations there. But I think Matthew was answering John's question again when we turn to chapter 15, that he is hearkening back to that question of, is this the Messiah? Is this the one who we are to expect? And I think Matthew reiterates that he is this one. He is the one who has come to heal. He is the one who has come to make the lame and the blind and the mute, the maimed, and other infirmities, and he was to heal them, and he was to preach this good news to them. And I think it was a sign that he was fulfilling these Old Testament prophecies, that he was the one that they were to expect. Verse 31 says, "So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel." This is the only place I could find in Matthew where Matthew uses this term, the God of Israel. And in my studies, I was wondering what the significance of this was. And I think to understand why he typically or specifically used that they were worshiping or they were glorifying the God of Israel, I think we need to understand a little bit of who the multitude is. So as we already noted, Jesus had been in the area of Tyre and Sidon. He had been up in that northern region around Galilee. And even as we looked at or thought of that passage in Mark, that they were in that Decapolis area. And so I think geographically, we get a lot of cues that make us understand that Jesus was in a Gentile area and he was ministering to Gentiles, or at least predominantly Gentiles in this area. And I think actually the greater proof of this is the previous context and the one that we read. And we think about, Ryan preached three or four Sundays ago, and he preached in the beginning of chapter 15, and he pointed out the heresy of the Jewish leaders and their man-made religion. They had changed the law of God, and they had twisted God's word and added to God's word and added it to justify their sins and to make the religion in what they wanted it. And then if you think the following sermon, Frank preached, and then he showed us the contrast between the Jews and the Canaanite woman. And he speaked about the blind leading the blind, and this was a comparison to the Canaanite woman who came begging and pleading and in faith believed in the Lord Jesus Christ compared to those who were blind. And maybe this isn't very significant to us. We live in America, and this is called the Great Melting Pot at times. We even think of our Statue of Liberty there, saying, bring your poor and huddled masses. And so for us, I think national differences do not stand out as much as it does in a lot of other cultures. I was even thinking of my times when I lived up in Canada going to school up there, and between the French Canadians and the British Canadians, and there was a distinction, and they knew it, and they made fun of each other. As well as our time when we were down in Chiapas, and it was distinct between who were Spanish Mexicans and those who were Indian Mexicans. And I think that in a sense in America, we don't understand some of this stuff. And especially in our passage today, and back in that time in history and for the Jewish culture, this was significant. It was significant that Jesus would be, as a Jew, ministering to the Gentiles. And we even look back at that passage, the woman even references to herself as a little dog underneath the table and comparing herself to those who would be the Jews as like children eating at the table and showing that distinction. And I think, like I said, I think in our culture we don't understand that as much, but it was definitely significant there. And it was not just national, but then it was part of their religious distinctions as well. We even think back into Acts, this distinction between Jews and Gentiles. When Peter was called by God to go and preach at Cornelius's house, a Roman, and the Holy Spirit moved there, and the people of that household and those who were in that presence were saved. When Peter came back, the council in Jerusalem had to take this into consideration and had to consider that the gospel had gone out as well to the Jews, or to the Gentiles, not only to the Jews. And so when we look at these healing passages, we see Jesus here ministering to these people who would not normally have been expected to have Jesus as a Jew come and to minister to them, to heal them. And a couple of those passages that I had read before are coupled with prophetic prophecies. And so the one in chapter 4 said, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people." And the passage right before that is a prophecy by Isaiah. And Matthew says that this prophecy is being fulfilled. And the prophecy reads, "In the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, and the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned." And so here we see Jesus, his healings as well being coupled with the fact that this good news, this message, this light has come to the Gentiles. And then as well, the one in Matthew 12 that we read, "But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them." And it goes on to say, "And yet he warned them not to make him known, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon him, and he will declare justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel nor cry out, nor will any hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory, and his name Gentiles will trust." So a couple of those narrative passages where Matthew records Jesus healing multitudes of people, and at the same time, Matthew notes that those are fulfillments of Old Testament prophecy of how that light would come, and it would come to the Gentiles. And I think Matthew, in our passage this morning, accentuates that by using that term, glorifying the God of Israel. And I think it was to accentuate that the Gentiles had come to worship the God of the people of Israel. And in contrast with the people of Israel not worshiping their God, not worshiping Jesus, instead we even look at the end of Matthew when they give their allegiance to Caesar, and they call him king, and they call him their God, and in the same breath turn to Jesus and say, "Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him." And here instead we have these Gentiles who are coming to Jesus, recognizing that he is the Son of God because of his ability to heal, and coming and worshiping God. Now, for us this morning, this is just not a historical or a cultural lesson about Jews and Gentiles back in Jesus's day. It's just not a simple narrative about Jesus healing people. Matthew particularly recorded this passage, and it has been preserved for us that we would learn from it. And we think about it, we think about us in this room. We all come from a mixed background of nationalities. And my guess is that probably not very many, or if any of us, have Jewish heritage in our family tree. And so how do we take a passage like this? And something for us to think is, if Jesus was not this light to the Gentiles, where would we be if the Savior was just for the Jewish people? Or where would we be if this light of the world was not the light unto the Gentiles as well? as Simeon prophesied when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple as a child, and he proclaimed a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. Where would we be if the angels who appeared to the shepherds didn't say, "I bring you glad tidings of great joy, which will be to all peoples"? So this isn't just a simple lesson on Jews and Gentiles, but I think it speaks to us. It speaks to us today. And so there were expectations back then. The Jews had expectations of what the Messiah would be, and Jesus didn't fit that. The disciples had expectations of who this Messiah that the prophets prophesied about. Mary and Joseph, I imagine, had their own expectations of who Jesus would be. And we even read about John the Baptist, and we imagine that John the Baptist was confused, and Jesus was not exactly matching up to what he thought this Messiah would be. And so what about the expectations of you? Some of us expect Jesus to be this person who fixes all of our problems, or maybe solves our financial issues, or maybe Jesus is one who just heals our aches and our pains, maybe heals our relationships. Maybe we look to him just to maybe fix our country or to fix my neighbor, maybe. Maybe even as a church, we just have this Jesus who will come and bring us a new pastor to get us through this transition time. And none of these are wrong, as long as they're not an end. So the Gentiles in the passage that we read about this morning, when they saw that Jesus was healing them, and they realized that these healings were pointing them to the fact that he was the Son of God, and they worshiped him, so they're... this faith led to worship, and the worship of God was the end in which they came to a point at in this encounter with Jesus. It was just not the healings, but it was the healings that brought them to the point to where they came to the feet of Jesus, and they glorified this God of Israel. So what do we expect? But when the Holy Spirit opens our eyes of faith, and we humbly come to him like little dogs, wanting even a scrap from Jesus' table, that then our souls are healed, and we come to the mountain where Jesus sits, and come to his feet, and we worship the God of Israel. Let's pray. Lord God, we give you thanks that you are a faithful God, that all of the Old Testament prophecies that we read and are noted in our scriptures, Lord, have come to pass and been fulfilled in Christ. That, Lord, not only you did not come just to the people of Israel, but you came to all of mankind, that you came to bring that good news, that you came to bring that healing that we need, that forgiveness that we need, that relationship that needed to be made right between you and us. We give you thanks, God, for your mercy to us. And Lord, even now as we prepare to eat of the sacrament, to gather around this table, we realize, Lord, that we are not like the little dog seeking a crumb, but we come, Lord, to feast on the Lord Jesus Christ, who has paid for our sins and has given us his righteousness. Amen.